This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I got two things. I needed to ask you this in the break, but I did not. And my apologies for not asking you this.
Do you think that new holiday I suggested probably is not for air?
That's not going to happen, bro.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Did we discuss this on Friday? Kay Adams had a guest on last week that said who is a schedule maker. He's a schedule creator, Mike North. And he said the Chiefs have almost kind of surpassed the Cowboys as the bell cow.
Oh, yeah. We did not. I did see that.
And I just, do you think that's a real thing that's really happening, that the Chiefs, and I know they're on the national scale more.
Sure.
Now, when you look at the schedule, everybody's like, well, let's put them against the Chiefs. Let's put them against the Chiefs because that's going to draw the ratings because Mahomes is really the star, and people want to see him do something spectacular.
Definitely.
Or see him fail. And they like that's how they feel about it. And that's the Cowboys. You either want to see them do something spectacular as a fan, or you want to see them fail sometimes as a fan. Like, it's really weird how the Cowboys are. But do you think that if you were to make the top five list or the top three list right now, is it Chiefs, Cowboys, are the Eagles there?
See, I would still put the Cowboys first because the numbers bear out that those are going to be better numbers. But with the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what was it? How many night games do the Cowboys have?
Yeah.
This year.
Exactly.
People, they were like, let's line them up against the Cowboys.
And so, but the difference is the Chiefs bring a lot of the pizzazz and name recognition that the Cowboys do, but they actually win consequential games.
Yes.
And so, like, I get it. Like, if I was a schedule maker for TV networks and stuff, my first pick would still be the Cowboys because it's been shown that the Cowboys draw, for better or worse, more than anybody. But if you want, like, the draw along with somebody who will be in a game that matters and they might actually win it, then the Chiefs should be number one.
It feels like you're taking some shots at the Cowboys there.
Oh, I'm sorry, Cowboys. Does that hurt your feelings?
Win some more games.
Yeah, exactly. Look, it's so weird to say this. The Chiefs have everything that the Cowboys do, except they play in and win relevant games.
You actually brought out the study last week of over the last 20 years.
25.
Over the last 25 years, the Cowboys are in the top 10 in regular season wins.
All the other nine have won a Super Bowl, and five of those nine have won multiple Super Bowls. And so, like,
hey,
yeah, if you want a better team, then obviously pick the Chiefs.
Oh, that was the number, Kevin. It was the ticket prices. The ticket prices for games, the Cowboys are like the six of the top 10 for current already.
Okay,
where the prices
are
on tick. And that's not home. I think there's one Cowboys home game. All the rest of them were road games.
And what are the things that is deceptive?
It's like the Bulls.
Yes.
Remember, the Bulls were the draw.
Yes. That would be the one time Reunion Arena would be full.
Yes.
Now, the thing that's deceptive to a certain point about the Cowboys games is you'll see really low prices because those are for the party passes. Like, if you ever look in the secondary market, you can find really cheap Cowboys tickets because those are for the party passes. Like, I understand why that's on there, but you should just look at, like, the lowest seat that you can get.
Also, 877-881-1053. Please go to my Twitter, @InTheMajors, my Facebook page.
Oh, I did that.
Corey Majors. I don't know. And look at the picture I posted as the family has found a dog. So our boss, Tim Collins, came in the other day and he was like, look, I'm just telling you what's worked for me. Get a new dog. Because my dog, Landry, who I love so much for a lot of years, passed away. And so he said, get a new dog. The more people I talked to, they were like, oh yeah, it definitely helps. And immediately I sent a link to my wife from Dallas Animal Services, and that started the search, right? Like, that started the whole family was like, I gotta, and we had the conversation of, is it too soon?
As soon as you sent that link, did you know that wheels were in motion that you would not be able to undo?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
And again, I missed the dog. So I was like, all right, let's see how this goes. My oldest kid finally was like, I don't know that I'm really ready, but let me meet some dogs.
Okay.
And yeah, so that really helped. And so this dog comes into the house yesterday. His name is currently Kodak. Meet him and we talk to him and I'm like, oh my gosh, this dog's great. The whole family though, wife, kids, were all waiting for me to approve, which made me feel really good in the house. Like made me feel like that really did help a lot to make me feel like I got some say in this place, you know, finally. Everybody and they all looked at me and they gave me the thumbs up question mark.
Yeah.
And I said, thumbs up, period, exclamation point, dot, dot, dot. And they were all like, yay. And so tonight we will go pick him up and he will be in our family. And that is where we are. Now, I posted it up on Facebook and Twitter. We're having a little bit of a difficult time coming up with a name. Now, we did this with Landry. People said you can't rename the dog. His name already has a dog name. And then our friend Chrissy Scales called into the show and she said, I wouldn't have Charlie Waters if I didn't rename the dog that I rescued. And again, this is a rescue pup. So
would you consider Sherlock Bones?
I wanted Sherlock Holmes so bad. I like Sherlock. I don't know if you know this, Kevin. As much as I love The Dark Tower and Stephen King, Sherlock Holmes is my favorite books. Growing up, I used to read them all the time. So I was trying. So the names currently that we have on the list.
Cleopatra?
No, not Cleopatra. Dang it. Currently we have Franklin, Jonesy, and another name that Forrest.
After Franklin, Forrest Gregg.
Jonesy, and Forrest, or Forrest Whitaker. He's a fantastic actor who's in Andor also.
True.
Those are the three names. 877-881-1053. Go take a look at the picture. Let me know what you think. You can also add yours in. Currently, Franklin is dominating this.
Now, over Mary Poppins?
Yeah. Carter, my middle kid, wanted to name him Megatron.
And yes!
I do not know why that has like just completely slipped away. It's gone now, though. Miko definitely was in the mix. But Adrian was like, it sounds too much like Nico. And we don't like Nico, right? And I was like, doesn't matter. Let's name him Miko. I also threw Miro in there. The name I wanted the most. They didn't even give it a chance.
Charles Lickens?
Not Charles Lickens.
That actually sounds like it might be something else.
A Tale of Two Cities. Get it?
It was the pets of time.
I wanted to name him Bochy.
I hate it here.
I wanted to name him Bochy.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody said, name him Jimmy Johnson to replace your dog, Tom Landry.
Ooh.
But Bochy, like, how awesome would that be to be like, Boch, come on. And you're hanging out with your dog, Boch. So that was it. I threw Wyatt out there because we have Wyatt Johnston and Wyatt Langford. And Adrian was like, I like Langford. So we have now settled in. And I just got a new friend request. Thank you, Ryan. We've now settled in to Franklin, Forrest, and Jonesy. So let us know which ones you think. So I'll take that list back to the wife. And tonight, like I said, currently Franklin is dominating the field. So that's where we stand on that.
If it was a girl, would you consider Sansa Bark?
I did kind of like Jon Snow. I was like, call him Jon Snow.
Yeah.
But he's brown. And I was like, I don't know.
Okay.
Adrian wanted more of like a caramel kind of name. I don't know exactly what that's why Forrest stuck. Because he's, you know. Never mind. All right. So have you seen what happens at the Preakness?
Yeah, they run the horses. It's been happening for like 150 years.
They also,
next topic,
over the last 10 years, evidently they run the porta potties. This is something that's kind of fascinating to me.
That doesn't mean they race them.
They
right?
get on top of the porta potties.
Okay.
Sprint across the top of them while people attempt to throw full beer cans at them. Now, I think the beer cans are open, but they throw beer cans at them. And people fall on top of these porta potties. Some people get hit in the head with these things. But Kevin,
I thought those races were fancy.
That's what I'm asking now. Would you rather go to a fancy Kentucky Derby type with all the $5,000 mint juleps and the hats, and
I do like the hats.
Wes Welker throwing out thousands of dollars because he's very, very hammered. Or would you rather go to a thing that's just like, you know what? You might get hit with a beer can at this sucker, and we're going to run across the tops of porta potties. Which one do you like? 877-881-1053.
Also, would you consider Doctor Strange?
From the 214, oh my gosh, Kevin. That's it.
Too many puns?
They're done with it right
okay.
now. Or they'd love it. I don't
Look,
know.
I think...
My name is Forrest. You should 100% be the name of your dog.
Oh,
I like Forrest. I suggest it.
That would be cool. See, I think I'm going to go Kentucky Derby here. Because if you're going to go to the horse track, you're probably maybe going to fancy it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go halfway.
Okay.
Like, if I feel like you can go down to a construction site or something if you want to run the porta potties. Like, if you're going to go to the horse race, I want to make it a fancy horse race. Like, I want to wear one of those suits that you're like, society's probably changed for you too much, huh? And
oh my God.
I want to, you wow. know those suits that
a
people
fancy
wear.
Suit. Okay, you yeah. want to have a
you're
pocket
like,
watch.
You shouldn't wear that anymore.
Kevin really wants a pocket watch and a cane.
Oh my gosh, yes.
You should move up to Winnipeg and do the KFC dress-up thing that they do.
I think a cane or a monocle are the two fanciest status symbols in
Sounds
the world.
Sounds about white.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, see? Sean gets it.
My buddy did say that he needs a bow tie and a monocle.
Yeah. You can wear this baller hat that everyone else in your regular life would judge you for, but at the Kentucky Derby, welcome aboard.
See,
I don't want to be mixing with the riffraff at the Preakness.
See, that's the thing. I feel like I'm amongst my people when I'm there. I feel out of place when I'm around surrounded by rich people.
No, so that's what I'm saying.
Very
I get
place.
It, but that's why you go all the way rich.
The experience.
Like, if you're going to go half-ass rich, just stay in your t-shirt at home and watch it on the TV.
Or you can go have some beers with some friends and run the porta potties.
And that's fine. Yeah. Nobody, like, arrests these people
See,
for that.
The other thing, too, is now I got to go buy a suit like that. You know, that's an expensive
yeah.
feature. Like, I don't know. I don't have the money to do that. That's not okay.
I don't even own a suit. Yeah.
Oh, really?
I own one, but I grew out of it because I put on weight. Yeah.
Alex, I love you, dude.
I can't even button it up anymore.
So awesome.
$200 waste.
Would you consider naming your dog RuPaw?
That's not on the list. So, okay. like, don't send me any new ones, all right?
I
already narrowed it down
one.
To three names. Okay?
I have a new one.
What's that?
Kyle Yeoman.
Oh, that's a good name. That's a good name. I'll ask Adrian if we can throw that in there, but we have to say it like that every time. Kyle Yeoman's a fantastic name. That's why we play that drop all the time.
That's,
I do like that.
That is true. There was one time... They played it at the most inappropriate time. They teased like a very negative story about somebody who had done something really bad, and I think Peyton played it. All right. A lot of people are loving the dog puns, but there might be more people that are like, I need you to stop.
Oh, okay. All right. Kevin.
So I'll work. Do you think you could win one of those porta potty races?
With beer cans being thrown at you? You ever gotten hit by a full can of any fluid?
No.
I don't know why I said it like that.
I don't either.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
I don't know why you reacted that way either. No,
because of the way you said it.
One time somebody threw a full can, like an unopened Coke can to me from very far away, and I was in the water in the lake. And it hit me in the hand and split Ooh. My hand open. Like the dull part of the lip hit my hand. And I was like, ah, so I don't want to get hit with a beer can. But I would like to be one of the people throwing because I'm pretty accurate, you know? So I'm going to knock that dude out off the porta potty. And if you knock him out, then do you get your chance to run? Is that how it works? Or if you run and make it across, do you get to throw?
I don't know. You're the one who's bringing this information to me. I don't know the further answers. Except you should name your dog Wagatha Christie.
All right.
Will you admit that you like some of those, Alec?
No, I'm not going to admit anything.
Because then he thinks you'll just keep doing it, which him ignoring it isn't helping either right now. Kevin, there was a prison break in New Orleans. Have you seen this?
Did you help with it?
Prison break in New Orleans. 10 inmates escaped from the New Orleans jail with help from the inside is what they think. They yanked a cell door off the track, breached a wall behind a toilet, and
what?
Yeah, and left a message above the hole in the wall. They wrote on the wall, "Too easy," and then LOL, and then took off.
All right. Here's the problem with
they
that.
They taunted the cops on their
Here's
way out.
Here's the problem
dude.
With that.
The police
if you,
are on their way, mofo.
Yes.
Thanks, Mike.
That's true. But if you get caught, you know the prison or the guards are going to put up little signs and stuff and be like, not so easy now, is it? Or, but it's going to be easier than your night. Like, just things like that. Like, I don't know if I would. That's the thing. People taunt too quickly. You need to make sure that you have actually won the situation.
So once you escape prison,
yeah.
Then give it some time.
Yeah, it's too early.
Or maybe leave like a series of taunting notes
yes.
that will like that aren't necessarily understood until the last note.
That's and that's fine. Because like it's the same thing we talk about with college football. People will dunk on their rivals being like, "Oh, your team lost." Before your team has even played that day, and guess what happens if your team loses? You need to wait until you're comfortably in charge of the situation.
Yeah, that's a good approach on that.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, you know what? The hell with it. Let's go back to hockey. Do you love the NHL playoff handshake line? And we'll talk more about the Stars' victory over Winnipeg in the series. Look ahead next on The Fan.
Farley shoots. Save made. A rebound.
He almost said Ottinger. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I want to go back to the Stars for a variety of reasons, but we were talking about Scheifele earlier. How much do you love, I guess, especially when you win, how much do you love the post-game handshake line?
It was, I don't know that I've been that emotional as I was with this one specifically. I think it's
awesome.
Will
you reset for people who missed that for some reason?
Shifley's father passed away. Now, let's go through this whole thing. We find out at the beginning of the game, right before the game, that this happened.
Yep.
We find out, I think. Maybe other people didn't know. He gets on the ice. The story of from Leah Hextall and from everybody at ESPN, they were just like, hey, man, or is it TBS? Hey, can you believe he's even out here?
Yeah.
His dad would have wanted him to be out here. He's here for his teammates. He's here for him. He's here for his dad. What an amazing story. He scores the goal. He scores the first goal of game 6.
Although I have to admit, in that moment, I wasn't like, what a nice story. I was like, screw
this is man. Very much after the fact, obviously. And I was like, in that moment, I was like, dadgum, man, what a story. Like, that's what I was thinking. I wasn't happy for him. But I was like, man, this is Disney moment right here.
Yeah.
And then he's the guy that makes the penalty on Sam Steele that could have set up a penalty shot. I'm glad it didn't because I preferred the overtime for our guys.
Right.
And then the Stars score in overtime while he's sitting in the penalty box, helpless. Can't do anything about it. His head falls.
And he's evidently going to think it's his fault.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And his head hangs and he's sitting there. I know Hellebuck sitting in the goal, just slouched down and just completely gone too. And his coaches said, go get him. Go get him.
Yeah.
And his captain, Adam Lowry, skates over, pulls him out of the box. They surround him. They hug. They let him know look, man, we're a family afterwards, dude. If y'all didn't see it, go watch the Adam Lowry. I think it's Niedermeyer post game. Niederreiter. That post game was so emotional because they're asking Adam Lowry about this and, you know, what his thoughts of it. And he was like, look, his dad was a friend of ours. You know, he was just as we loved him just as much as it shook us. But you know, they go through it and to see what a captain Adam Lowry is. I got to tip my cap to him, stick tap, you know, all those things for him because I was very, at the end of that, I was like, man, that's a good man right there. And so the handshake line starts. Jamie Benn gets to Scheifele. And this is the guy that punched Scheifele in the face.
Yes, just one game ago.
One game before that, and there he is hugging him, talking to him for what seemed like a minute and a half.
Yeah.
While everybody else is waiting to shake more hands, but everybody in that line knew this is going to be a little bit different than usual. And every one of those dudes that walked across or skated up to him, they all had something different to say to him specifically.
They were all giving him hugs as well.
Absolutely.
Because, like, sometimes you get that, sometimes you don't. But like you saw, and I'm sure a lot of people were like, you're a warrior, you know, like something really uplifting. And so they were all hugging him as well. And I very much appreciate that.
So that specific one was full of emotion. And, you know, then finally you got to see the two goalies meet too.
Oh, yeah.
Like those two goalies that, you know, obviously one hates the other. And the Otter just, he was out for blood. And then you get to see that, the two captains, Lowry and Ben meeting, like that was great. But this is the perfect explanation. The handshake line from the 214, sportsmanship at its finest. Both teams have the chance to behave honorably in victory and defeat. And this is two teams that slug it out for seven games, maybe six, but it is seriously, they get chippy, they fight, they battle. And then when the series is over, they congratulate each other and move on about their day because that's what sports is ultimately about.
I felt the same way after the Colorado series. It feels like both of these series were like 13 games long.
Yes. Oh, yeah. This is already, I mean, DeBoer even said that. He was like, can you believe we're only halfway through?
No.
And I love the fact that he's thinking that way, but he's like, we're only halfway through. It feels like we've been at this for 2 months, 7 months already.
And I'm going to make the argument you're playing the best team you've played so far in the next round, with all due respect to Colorado and Winnipeg.
So, I think that more sports, when we were kids, baseball, you got done, you shook hands.
Yeah.
Football, we've seen fights break out at football games before.
That's
but
for sure.
You know, in high school, they shake hands.
Yeah.
And you don't see that as much anymore. Like the baseball teams, they go back and shake their own team's hands.
Yeah.
And in football, they end up taking pictures with each other's jerseys. Like that's how that goes. But I really do admire the handshake line from hockey.
Now, you talked about Ottinger. Go ahead and give me cut number five if you can. I know we talked about the save earlier, but this is what it sounded like. Just a ridiculous save in the third period to keep the game alive.
Connor on the attack again. Connor moves in, down low, backdoor, save Ottinger! Appleton had a wide open net and didn't get much after the tic-tac-toe pass. Set him up perfectly! And Ottinger, with his back to the play, dives to his left and makes a terrific save.
Larceny.
Yeah, what a great call, first of all. But secondly, I don't know if you can go back. Maybe we can hear it one more time. I want you guys to listen to how long the crowd is still buzzing. Not off of a goal, off of a save.
Connor on the attack again. Connor moves in, down low, backdoor, save Ottinger! Appleton had a wide open net and didn't get much after the tic-tac-toe pass. Set him up perfectly!
Like, those people are still cheering because they were like, that might have just saved the game. And I'm sure some people might think it just saved the series. So I want to go back to Pete DeBoer. You know, we kind of talked about, people were saying Connor's backup, and then the Dallas crowd responded, Otter's better.
And I'm pretty sure, Kevin, that was because of Are You Better?
I can see that.
Otter's better. Are you better? Like, those make sense.
Ooh, I get that.
I do feel like most of the time when I heard that chant, it was Otter's better. And it stuck like that.
Very, very flattering. Thank you very much. So,
it's just the facts.
Pete DeBoer said this about Ottinger. He just went head to head with maybe the MVP of the league, and what everyone is saying is the best goaltender in the world. And he probably was this year in Hellebuck. He went toe-to-toe with him, nose-to-nose with him the entire series. I do wonder, to a certain extent, I'm not saying I'm saying this, but this is something that DeBoer has carried with him. I wonder if Otter also carries with him, I'll remember it when you win the cup. Like, there's a lot of people who think Ottinger's a damn good goalie, because he is. But then there's a lot of people who have the feeling that he'll fold when it matters most, which I don't think is necessarily backed up by facts at all. Mm-hmm. But you know how sport work.
Yeah, and I think this, I'm not saying that Team USA is going to be like, well, you didn't win the cup, you know, so, but it just stamps it even more if you do. Hey, we got that. Why wouldn't we make him the starter since he did what he did? I hope there's not a letdown after what was, you know, that was motivation for him.
Yeah.
Every night he gets on the ice and he's thinking to himself, I got to one up that guy. You know, Bill Parcells used to tell his players, I'm sure other coaches do this, but Bill Parcells would come up to you and say, be the best player at your position today. If you're the best tight end and he's the best quarterback and he's the best offensive lineman, we're going to have the best offense today. And so if you can be better than the guy across from you, you're not necessarily like pitchers. Be better than that pitcher today. If you give us zeros, then our whole team's doing better than theirs right now. So I hope that there's not a letdown because he doesn't have that across from him to motivate him.
Yeah.
Skinner's a good netminder. And I know he's had his problems too. Go show him up too, man. Like, get after that one out there. That is definitely, that's what I'm hopeful of, is that he doesn't have all right, now I can put it in cruise control because I don't have to go be the best like Connor Hellebuck was.
Will you guys take a, I don't know, more interested vantage point now of the Panthers Hurricane series?
Because for sure.
I have to admit, other than watching the spectacular and inevitable way that the Maple Leafs would fail, and man, did they live up to their NHL Cowboys moniker.
They also had some fun games. Like, they had some really fun games. You're right, though.
For sure. And in that series, it looked like they were going to dominate, and then they got dusted in three straight games, and then they're like, hey, we took game six. We're going to make it back to Toronto, make it back to our home ice, make it back so Edge, the wrestler, can be sitting right there to see us triumph. And then they lost 6-1 because that's what they do. I'm definitely more interested, or quite a bit interested, in Hurricanes and Panthers, because you don't need to be a scientist to figure out that's who the Stars would play next if they win.
Yeah. No, I feel like if you've been, and what's interesting, Kevin, is a lot of our Tolos have been, they give us the leash and say, we'll go with you wherever you go. And I really appreciate that from the Master Peeps out there, that look, man, we'll listen. Y'all just talk about your things and y'all just talk.
I took that at face value.
We're on the ride with you, because a lot of people are like, I've never been interested in hockey before, and you guys are making me interested and excited about it. Baseball. Mike made a lot of people interested in baseball. And then they went and won a damn World Series.
Yeah, they did.
So that's the part of this is, if you've been on this part of the journey, now here we are. This is the...
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
The other part of it, you're going to know the opponent better if you watch them, and you're prepared, and we actually get to the cup.
Yeah.
You know, Kevin, you've always said this, about 2 weeks out is when we really start telling the Tolos, this is your chance to scoreboard your friends at work. This is your chance. You start listening now, and you start catching up on the Stars these next 2 weeks, you're going to be 2 weeks ahead of your friends. And so that's that opportunity. We've fortunately been able to stick with this team all season because we had a lot of interest in them, and we've had a lot of interest in them for quite some time now. So, yeah, Kevin, I am very, very interested in what's going to be happening in that series.
Now, let's quick hit this just a little bit. We'll probably dive more in depth into it tomorrow and certainly on Wednesday. In Edmonton, you are going up against a team that, man, they have been on a freaking tear. After they lost the first two games of the playoffs, they have been smashing folks left and right. And look at the betting odds. So the reason why I wanted to bring this up, outside of the fact that I'm just fascinated by them, they have shifted slightly in Edmonton's favor. You remember when we talked about the beginning of the Dallas-Winnipeg series, it was pretty close. Dallas was a bit of a favorite, and man, they jumped up. They went from like minus 125 to minus 175, something like that. So a huge increase. And so the Oilers open as about a minus 115. And so we get new listeners all the time. If it's a minus, that's how much you have to bet to win $100.
Okay.
So you'd have to bet $115 to win $100. If it's a plus, that's what you get if you bet $100.
Okay.
So minus 115 for the Oilers, plus 105 for the Stars. Obviously, that's about as close as you can get without it actually being even, which you see occasionally. There are a couple of spots that had it reversed. So the Stars as super slight favorites. That line has moved just a little bit towards Edmonton, and they're now sitting at about a minus 125, which makes sense to me because you have the biggest name and you're on the hottest streak of anybody in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, Carolina's been playing really, really well as well. But so you'll go into the series.
Can you imagine if they were playing really well and Mikko was playing really like, oh my would gosh. We even be thinking to ourselves, like, if he was playing at that level that he's played for the Stars?
I cannot imagine. They've only lost two games so far, so I can't imagine how much better
that thing mixed into it. You're like, jeez.
And so you'll open the series tomorrow, on Wednesday, even though you have home ice advantage. I do believe it looks like it's going to settle in that the Stars are going to be really slight underdogs in this series.
I'm fine with that, man.
But that was the case with Colorado, and it was close to a pick 'em.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with that, man. Like, keep not believing in this team, Vegas, and keep. That's why Vegas isn't in the playoffs, dude. That's why Vegas got booted, because they didn't believe in the Stars.
And you know what and that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But you know what I love about that? How often do you get to say we have home field advantage or we have home ice advantage and nobody believes in us?
Yeah.
Now,
don't you love that you stole home ice advantage back?
Yes, I do.
By taking down the Winter Pigs?
Yes. Are you going to let Winter Pigs go now?
Nope.
Are you gonna, okay.
No, we're sticking with it all for the rest of their futures.
Wow. I will try to remember all of that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
20 seconds to go. Breaking a steal off the takeaway. Tripped. Is it a penalty shot? It might be. There's the tripping call. Will they call a penalty shot or just a minor? 14.8 seconds to go. The first penalty that could carry over into overtime.
I think we know what Drake would have done. 877-881-1053 if you want to get involved in the conversation. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it's time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is he today?
Terrific, Higgy. How are you?
Hell yeah, I'm doing fantastic as well. Now, Corey had a different point of view on this that I really like. Did you guys think it should have been a penalty shot, or did you know at that point in the game with no penalties called so far, there's no way in hell, or no penalties that stood, there's no way in hell they were calling a penalty shot?
You know, I was Googling up what the exact rule was and what it would have to be in order to be a breakaway, but... Yeah, I was thinking the whole time, wow, we haven't had a penalty all game long, and I thought it would take something like that in order for the whistle to blow.
Brother-in-law that I went to the game with is like, that's a penalty shot. I didn't want it to be, therefore I don't think it should have been.
Okay, tell me why, because that's what Corey said.
I just think you had a better chance of scoring on the power play. I know we talk sometimes about that overlap where the fresh sheet of ice, we just kind of assume that's going to make the difference, but then some coaches will tell you it's tough to get kind of reset. Sam Steele, bless his heart, and he had a goal earlier, and he's been absolutely phenomenal when it comes to the fourth line and the chippiness and the forecheck and just dirty winning hockey plays. But I don't want him taking a penalty shot in that situation. And he even admitted he was exhausted postgame. And it looked like it. I mean, he's huffing and puffing there, just skating back to the bench. So I was hopeful this is just a power play scenario because I thought that was the Stars' best chance to capitalize on it.
Seen a few shootouts this year for the Stars.
Yeah.
Sam Steele was never part of one of them.
Yeah, that is a very fair point. Now, I know we don't know for sure how it would have turned out, but could you see a world in which that Jake Ottinger third period save kept your season going?
Dude.
Because the last couple games in Winnipeg,
they got enough on the puck, though?
Fair.
But we've seen plenty of those ones get through.
Let me tell you what, this might have something to do with the fact, and I think this is going to play out in the Western Conference Finals, and it can even play out in the Cup Final. The more humid it gets here and the hotter it gets, that ice is going to become worse and worse and worse.
Can I tell you, I think that's a benefit for the Stars going into this.
If you're talking about a team with a lot of speed and a lot of team that has those seam passes and stuff like that, where they break out, that rough ice.
Is that the way you see it?
That could be a problem.
The choppy ice could be an issue.
Yeah,
it could be. But I agree with you in terms of that could benefit the Stars because, I mean, Edmonton, this is going to be, we'll have a ton of time to preview this thing.
Right.
I did think the Shifley storyline was, and I love what the Stars fans have done.
With the donations and everything, yeah.
That's amazing. That shows the hockey community. I felt for them. It was tough because it's like we're celebrating, obviously. And the American Airlines Center is a top sports viewing moment ever to be there.
Yeah.
Finally see a handshake line. I don't think I'd ever actually been to a closeout game.
Yeah.
But I couldn't help but be looking at the box. And, I mean, it was, you felt for him in that moment. It's like not only is he playing with a heavy heart, he did score a goal that put him up 1-0, which did, a little doubt started to creep in there. Stars dominated that first period. He scores. I'm thinking, my God, is this just the puck luck that we've been getting here? But yeah, you couldn't help but your heart go out to him in that moment while he's just sitting there.
He just kind of slink out of the box to his teammates.
It was awful, and they're hugging him and embracing him, and of course everyone going through the line. You know, they took extra time with him as they should have. But Thomas Harley, man, that dude, ice in his veins. He's just money when you need it most.
Ready for the moment.
Oh, absolutely, and he's been ready for the moment. since the end of January when he's really picked up. He's done a phenomenal job of picking up the slack without Mira around to a level that I did not think he could do already. I thought eventually he'd get there, but not already.
Spitzy, the hockey hawk, was like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Thomas Harley ended up at some point down the line being better than Miro. And I kind of thought, you, what are you smoking right now?
Right.
But
what was he smoking?
I didn't see anything. Who knows what's going on in the office back there. But
he's impressive with the way he can hide it.
Uh-huh. It's a hell. It's a premonition that might end up coming true. Hadn't
turned him in yet.
Might happen.
Yeah.
That's great. Hey, but shout out to Miro, though, because it looked like a guy who was sort of.
He's back. Now,
the rust is off, and this dude's ready to take
And some
off.
Of the stats on him were unreal.
Yes. No, you're right. Is Robo back, and this is just playoff Robo?
Yeah. This is playoff.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fair. It's fair.
I think everything you've been talking about with what Madonna said on Spit and Chicklets about Austin Matthews and how the ice shrinks, you're not given as much space, and for those that could just be good regular season goal scorers, maybe it doesn't translate to the postseason. I don't ever want to use like the soft word, but there is a little bit of that with Robo.
He's not the most physical guy on the ice. He's not the fastest skater, but his brain is fantastic.
Yeah.
He sees things differently, and that's why from time to time you'll see him swoop in or you'll see him make a pass. And you're like, whoa, that was
He creating for others is something where I think that's going to be his game in the postseason. Yeah. I don't know if you're going to get the goal-scoring version that you see in the regular season.
I think you're also, at this time of year, you play against teams that the goaltending doesn't give up rebounds.
Yeah.
And one of his best attributes or traits is being like around the cage, quick hands, and now it's in the top corner of the net because it was a rebound that the goalie didn't control or didn't glove, you know, or something like that. That's where I think he shines more. There's been times with the puck that he's looked like he's been unsure about making the pass. There's been some off-target ones. There's some that he hasn't got to connected tape to tape that he's missed on. So hopefully this is just something that he's kind of having to deal with being back. But, man, if you get a goalie that gives up rebounds, he tends to be that guy around the cage that puts it away.
Yeah, they seem to be more willing to say, I will stop the puck, stop the flow, and we can reset. I don't want this moving around at all.
Yeah.
And we talked about the running back position quite a bit earlier in the show. Is there anything in particular for our OTAs besides just stay healthy that you're intrigued by, interested in, anything along those lines?
I mean, I think it really speaks to the Oxnard stuff as well when we actually get to get out there, but I'm excited to see how Joe Milton spins the football. I want to see just, hey, is there any potential that there's something here? I would like to get some
you
good
say
reports.
Running back, he thinks Joe Milton.
Oh, wait. Are you talking specific about the running backs? I'm sorry.
No. I said anything.
Okay, I thought it was open-ended.
It doesn't have to be about the running backs earlier. You're good.
Sure. I know.
You're good.
I heard
you did lead with the running back. So I knew. I thought you were trying to draw him off sides.
No. You're good.
That would have been a funny bit if I still went with Joe Milton.
It would have
all that. Oh, yeah. He's a great running back, too.
Trey Lance. That would have probably been the best.
Else across the team besides just running back that you're intrigued by or watching out for?
It's got to be Guyton and how's left tackle looking, right? I mean, I think that the offensive line is really what's going to end up making this a season that is better than a lot of people think, or it's going to end up being really rough again. And I'm excited with what they've done in terms of the interior of that line, adding Tyler Booker, the power that they have, which they lacked with a guy like Tyler Biotish in the middle. Yeah. Good center. Not a powerful player, right? I think that was the same thing with Connor Williams and Connor McGovern. Now you're strong in the middle. Steele, I think, is going to be a huge benefit when it comes to a new offensive line coach. Mike Solari, I think, really messed with his head quite a bit.
Can you walk
got a bad version of him.
Sorry to cut you off there. Can you walk through like a Cliff's Notes version of why you think that is?
Yeah, I think it's technique. You know, I think that Mike Solari wanted Terrence Steele, to do stuff that he wasn't good at. And he was talking, I know, with Duke Manyweather as well, and some of the stuff that I had heard was Duke said, you know what, dude, just go back to what you were doing, right? The tape is on you. As a player, you've got to do what works for you. If the coach is telling you one thing and there's a disconnect there, at the end of the day, you kind of got to look out for yourself here. And when he started playing better, I do think having a healthy guard next to him.
The guard made a
was big huge. Gift.
Yeah, because he was able to coordinate steps better. Because Zach was struggling getting off the ball at some. And that was a little bit of a problem for him.
But I think, Philbin and Steele, they worked well. I don't think Solari did. And I'm hoping Coach Riley and him are able to connect well.
This is guy's third coach. Already.
It's tough.
Yikes.
Think about him and Tyler Smith. I mean, these guys just overcome. You know, BB, now that he's got his Kansas State coach back, I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that'll help. I think BB's only going to get better.
Didn't that Frederick Smith, Martin line have the same coach for a long a bit of time?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that always helps. Yeah.
Is it fair to have some confidence in this offensive line no matter what? I know we all want Tyler Guyton to be the man that he's supposed to be as a first-round pick left tackle. But if he's not, haven't they done enough to where Tyler Smith's your left tackle? Maybe Austin Richards steps up in a big way and you don't even have to worry about that. But Tyler Smith is a guy who can play left tackle. You got a million guards on this team.
I think they're trending up. We don't have to worry about them being horrible.
Right.
You know, and I'm looking forward to both lines of scrimmage. I don't know how much we can get from the OTAs. Maybe that'll be more Oxnard, more preseason.
Yeah.
I think OTAs, you know, I'd love to start seeing something from Jalen Tolbert or Brooks, you know, one of the young receivers or one of the young corners. We're looking for a slot, Brian.
Where you should, yeah, and all good points. I think what you should be looking at the OTAs is where guys are lining up.
Yep.
That's the number one thing. How they're going to line up at corner, how they're going to line up at nickel. What are they going to do? What's the rotation? Who's coming in? Who's coming out as the third down back, you know, as the thing? I'm still of the belief that they don't have a back. I mean, as far as I love Blue, I'm worried about the other two or anybody else that's not named Blue.
Yeah.
So to me, just focus in on how people are reporting them lining up. And then when you get to training camp, you'll be able to put that deal. Okay, this is what the coaches think. The rookies.
Yeah.
They're running with the twos. Oh, wait, look at this. Booker's already one guard. It's not always about, but just see where they're lining up. That's really the most important thing.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking, Hagee. Of course, it is Monday, so Chris Young's going to join us at 4:20 for the Cy Young Show, and Greg Wyshynski, senior writer, ESPN Hockey, is going to join us at 3:20.
All right, I love it. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.